Matter of fact, come on, somebody stand up with me. Stand up right there where you are. Thank you, Lord God. We bless and magnify your wonderful name. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Come on, open up your mouth with me. We bless you, Lord. We give you the praise, you the glory, you the honor forever and ever. Despite what goes on, Father, we continue to persevere. We continue to press forward, praise God, towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of you in Christ Jesus. You are good unto us always and at all times, Father. So we bless you in this moment right now. Yes, in the midst of difficulties and challenges, praise God, that may come, Father, we will not allow it to turn into a friction that moves us away from you. We determined, Father, that we're running harder after you as a result, Father. So we lift up our hands right now. We open up our mouth just to bless and magnify your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Daddy. You indeed are good forever and ever. So thank you, Lord God, for giving us an opportunity today to once again to gather around your precious word. Father, we love you. We bless you. We honor you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, you can be seated. If you didn't hug somebody or high-five somebody, that's all right. It was good to do that too. Praise God. Yeah. Now listen, this, just before we get into the Word of God, you know, on today, let me just share something with you. I want to say thank you for everyone who came out yesterday as we had our Saturday morning prayer. We pray, you know, every, you know, first Saturday together at our administrative offices. But then also afterwards, we went out in what we call just Love Our City. Just passing out, you know, hygiene and water and, you know, kind of snacks and food, you know, for those, you know, who were homeless, you know, just being a blessing, you know, to them, you know, in our community, just loving on our city here in this area. So thank you so much for coming out, you know, especially during a time like this. We recognize it's a pandemic still, but the church is still the church still. Amen. So we will continue, praise God, to do what we've been called to do, and that is impact. And thank you for those who've just sown into it. Maybe you weren't able to come out, you know, but your giving helps to make it possible. So thank you as well. Glory. Now, let's see if we can get into some good stuff, because I'm excited about this. Is anybody else excited? All right, I got two people. All right, I'm going to come right over here. How about anybody excited right here? All right, there they go. All right, praise them. Here we are. So here we go. We're going to take some time here to learn how to navigate the stress and struggles in times like what we live in now. There's a lot of facts. Facts are that in the United States alone, it's reported that over 500,000 people have lost their lives to COVID-19. Those are facts. There are, you know, facts that individuals have indeed lost their job and in financial ruin. Facts are there's a lot of businesses during this particular time that have closed and cannot reopen. There's a lot of facts. There's a lot of facts that are happening around us, and then there's a lot of facts of, watch this, that are happening to us that we want to make sure that we know how to properly respond. It's during these times that facts in particular can wind up developing friction that's affecting our perspective and making it difficult to know what is true in the important areas of our lives, like our families, like our marriage, you know, like our finances, you know, even like our faith, praise God. We want to make sure that we stay with God. God wants us to be able to know how to overcome the obstacles in our lives. And in order to do that, we got to let God do his work. Come on, somebody say, let him do his work. Yeah, just let him do it, praise God. That is our heart. So now let's begin to kind of dissect some of this. Friction. Someone say friction. So we're not talking about fact or fiction. We're talking about fact or is what you're really dealing with, friction. Friction is the resistance that one surface encounters when moving against another. So maybe you've tried, you know, moving something heavy across the floor and you experience that resistance. You know, maybe, you know, in old days, you remember you used to kind of strike a match on a matchbook, you know, that resistance, praise God, of that stick going against, you know, that little booklet, that was friction that was caused and then would spark into a flame. There's a whole lot of things that we could probably point to that points to friction. But here's one I think we can do together. So at home right here as well, everyone put your hands together like this. Now for 10 seconds, I want you to just rub them. Come on, 10 seconds. Uh-huh. Come on, keep rubbing. Faster. Faster, faster, stop. So now what happens there? Now all of us could hear that. That's friction. You could even start to feel that. Watch this, your hands are warmer right now. That's friction. The issue is what we have to be careful of is not to allow the facts that are happening in our life to kind of cause that type of grind and that kind of heat. Because when it does, it tends to make us act funny. Uh-oh. Come on now. When you get under emotional friction, you kind of go into a tude. That's an attitude for those that may not know. An attitude. When now you start getting this sense of friction. So here's a good working definition then I want to give you for friction that we're going to work with for this whole series. It's the tension we experience from the resistance brought on by facts in our life that challenge our dreams. Let me say that again. It's the tension we experience from the resistance brought on by the facts in our life that challenge our dreams. There are things that happen to us that wind up challenging our dreams. And watch this, it's uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable. And if you don't watch it, you can start to make decisions from that place, and that's not a good, healthy place. You're making decisions from a place of tension, a place of resistance, a place of friction. And that's not what Almighty God wants for you or I, especially, watch this, as it relates to our family. A life that winds up being dominated by the facts is a life that is given to friction. So yeah, you got to pay attention to the facts, but don't let it be dominated by the facts, because when it does, it's going to create this sense of friction. And watch this, I'll just go ahead and cut to the chase. When friction is left unchecked, it turns over into full-blown fear. And once fear is set in, we are in a very, very horrible condition, not where God wants us to be. So let's begin to get into this. Let's see, I got so much I want to try to get to you. I remember growing up, my next door neighbor, they had a German Shepherd. I think it was German Shepherd and some Husky mixed. I guess a good looking dog, but he had a little temper to him. And, you know, they had them to be kind of a guard dog, you know, protection, so forth. And he was fine as long as you kept him in that backyard, in that gated area, in those boundaries. But every now and then, as kids would come home from school, and everybody knew about this dog pretty much in the neighborhood. So some kids decided they wanted to pick with the dog. That made no sense. That made no sense at all. You know, they throwing things, you know, at the gate. You know, they'll run up and see what the dog would do. Well, one day, they did that, and he came over the fence. Once he came over the fence, ladies and gentlemen, it was not good now. Watch this, because as long as he was in his barrier, his perimeter, everything is fine. But when he was let out now, and he got out and is running wild, it created havoc right there in the neighborhood. Listen, you and I cannot afford to allow our feelings and our emotions go to a place that's unchecked and runs wild. You and I have to make sure that we always keep the gospel as the checking force to our feelings. Come on, turn to that person next to you and say, this is a good place to say amen right here. Yeah. Let the gospel be the checking force. Come on now, not what you think is right, not what you feel is right, but what the gospel says is accurate about who you really are. One of the things, you know, about this whole matter of friction is that it brings us to a place where our feelings start to internalize the tension created by the facts as being true. So now you're feeling as if I'm not going to make it. You're feeling as if I'm going to be left alone. You're feeling as if I'm going to go broke. You're feeling this way, and that feeling becomes so intense now that you start to internalize it, and your mind starts to embrace it as if it's true. And that, again, is a very, very dangerous place to be. So friction in our marriages, friction in our families, friction in our finances, friction, you know, in our faith creates discouragement. It obviously creates tension, as we said, and then it creates this negative expectation in our lives. You and I want to be diligent to resist that. So here's our working question that we're going to answer on today. Are you with me? Say yes. How do you ignore the friction and catch God's story for your situation? How do you ignore the friction and then catch God's story for your situation? God has a story for your life. Listen, I got news for you. Before you ever showed up, before you were born, before your parents thought about you, God had a story already laid out for you. And the heart here is, can you and I learn how to resist the friction and embrace God's story for our life? Now, only way you're going to embrace it is you got to know what it is. You got to spend time, you know, with the story giver, and he will unfold unto you exactly what his story is for your life. Let me give you five things this morning. Five. Come on. Somebody say five. All right. Here we go. Number one, hope against hope. In Romans chapter 4, verse 8, talks about Abraham. Abraham is the one who's considered to be the father of faith. And it says this about him in verse 18. I love it. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Man, I love that. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Come on now, there's all types of reasons for you not to trust God. Do you understand that? There's all kind of stuff that comes like, yeah, I hear that. That sounds good. But there's all types of facts that try to come our way to convince us that what God has said may or may not happen. I hope it does, but I'm not really sure that it's going to. And many individuals get consumed in that place of hopelessness, this thing that is kind of hoping against what God has said. But Abraham had a mindset that I'm hoping against hope. I'm getting an expectation about what God has said. Despite what it looks like, despite what it feels like, I'm going to trust him. And listen, God has the audacity to come along to Abraham when he's 75 years old and say, hey, you know what? You're going to be the father of a great multitude. And now Abraham is thinking this: God, you're probably about 40 years too late. You should have started this process with me when I was much younger. I'm 75, Sarah's 65. What in the world are you talking about? We're going to start having kids now? They didn't have one child. They didn't have one child. He's 75, she's 65. God says, though, I'm going to make you the father of a great multitude. Your descendants will outnumber the sands on the sea and the stars in the sky. Now, come on. How many of you know this is immediate mental friction now? Because Abraham is like, what? Like, what? There's no, can we talk? Can we talk a little bit? There's no Viagra on the market right now, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing like that. Abraham was 75. It just wasn't, can we talk? It just wasn't happening like it used to. So there's all kind of reasons coming to his mind and thinking that there's no way this could happen. There's no way this could happen. That's the friction that comes there. And a lot of times, watch this, when that friction comes into our lives like this, we can start to respond to people in our lives in a way that we never should. Sometimes we wind up taking it out on the people that we love. Hope against hope. So I say this, if you are a wife in the room, think about the last time, you know, at home you had one of those very stressful situations. How did you respond to your husband? Okay, don't answer. Don't answer that. Don't do that. Or, you know, to the fathers in the room, when, you know, the last time, think back the last time where you just kind of felt stretched and pulled over here, you know, we need you to do this. We need you to fix that. We need you to run, go get this, run, go get that. How did you respond, you know, maybe to the kids that day? See, friction, unfortunately, can cause us to act out of our character. Maybe you're a single parent, and these stressful times have just gotten even more heightened in terms of the stress that they've created. How are you relating to the people in your life that love you? Maybe for my students in the house. Think back on the last day, the last time you had one of them stressful days at school. How did you feel? How did you relate to your parents that day? How did you relate to your siblings? How did you relate to your friends? Did you see that you wind up having an attitude? That attitude is because the facts turned over into friction and it was not checked by the gospel. It started to run wild. Be very careful. Someone say it with me. Be very careful. Absolutely, praise God. Yeah. Now, the thing that you got to keep in mind with this is that when friction comes in, we have a tendency to want to protect ourselves. Nobody likes to be hurt. Nobody likes to be hurt. And watch this. And none of us like to be, feel like we don't have control. Everyone wants to feel like I have the say-so of my coming and going. You know, nobody likes to feel like they're not in control, because in essence, to not be in control is to be in prison. And see, when that friction develops to a place like that, then we start to go into self-preservation, self-protection. And that is not good for our families. Let me give you the second one. The second is this: make yourself the last one standing. Make yourself the last one standing. Here's the gist of this. Whenever we put ourselves first, everyone else becomes last. You understand? When you put yourself first in the family, you've put everybody else in the family last. As purpose-driven as it may sound to put yourself first, it's completely contrary to the character and heart of God. And as a matter of fact, that condition is really filled with a lot of hostility, a lot of animosity, and just a lot of selfishness and pride. Don't get caught putting yourself first. The friction is going to try to create that. The friction is going to try to make you say, okay, now I need to look out for me. That's what the friction is going to try to do. You have to resist that. Don't let the most important person in the world become you. Now, I know society and kind of psychology almost really pushes us that way, that you got to be the most important one. But I need you to understand, that was never God's heart. Not that you and I are not important, but God has a heart of saying, no, learn how to look at others even more valuable than yourself. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, listen to this, value others above yourselves. Okay, I'm going to back up and read that part again. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This was the mindset of Jesus. He says, so now in your relationships, in your family, have that same kind of mindset. One, that you stay humble and you value others above yourselves. You're not looking to your own interest, but you're looking to the interest of others. Oh, well, wait a minute. Well, yeah, I mean, if I do that, then what's going to happen to me? Well, you have to understand, number one, you know, God's system of how things work with him. He says, when you honor me, I honor you. It's this system called seed time and harvest. So as you are kind of sowing seed to value others above yourself, God says, now I can get involved now and value you above all others. Seed time and harvest. The other dynamic of it is, especially, you know, you see it in family, and this is how it's supposed to work in marriage, when you have a husband and a wife who serve each other. Come on, somebody say serve. Serve is the operative term. Watch this. Anybody like to go to a restaurant? I know I do. I like to go to a restaurant, even in a pandemic. Y'all forgive me if that disturbs you. But yes, even in a pandemic, I show up to some restaurants. Now, I get absolutely perturbed, though, if the service is poor. If somebody now is waiting on my table, but it seems like it's an inconvenience. It's just like, what? Really? I never will forget. Went to this restaurant, you know, one time. You know, it was a holiday, so I was doing something, you know, very nice restaurant. They had never been there before. Very nice restaurant. At least the ambiance and all that was. And the price tag, Lord have mercy. I never will forget, the waiter had an attitude. Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm spending too much money. You know, this ain't McDonald's. You know, McDonald's, you kind of expect it to be like, you know, here your stuff. You say thank you, they be like, yeah. I was like, oh my goodness. But here's a place that, watch this. I'm spending like, you know, close to $100 a person. And I'm like, okay, you can't have an attitude like that. And interesting enough, towards the end, I think he caught himself. And then he tried to be, you know, ultra sweet then. Because he know now we're getting ready to come to tip time. Yeah, I wrote him a little note, be like, next time have a better attitude. God bless you. And then went on out. No, I still tipped him. But that's what I wanted to do. Like, you need to step up your game on this. Listen, nobody wants to be in family, marriage, family, relationship, and feel like the person you're in relationship with, you are an inconvenience to them. It's just like, okay, I got to do this. What you want to eat? Like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah, maybe I don't want to eat whatever you're about to try to cook. Mm-mm. We want to make sure that we keep ourselves in a place where we're not making ourselves number one. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You know, Paul is stressing this whole sense of humility and watch this, and just learning how to raise the significance of those people around us. And it doesn't have to just simply be family. It should be anyone that we come in contact with. Learn how to raise their significance in your eyes. You know, in our small group this past week, we're just talking about the fact of just having a heart, you know, to reach others, not identifying, you know, in the story that Jesus told, not identifying like the priest or the temple assistant, the Levite, but identifying with people like a good Samaritan, that we're there to help, that we're there to lend, that we're there to bring some life and some value to them. That's why I love the fact, you know, we're able to get out on yesterday just to love our city, just to let people know God loves them, we love them too. And to bring some value, you know, to their lives. That's what Almighty God has called you and I to. Don't make yourself first. Here, I'll give you another one. I was in Costco the other day. Costco, I like Costco. I got any other Costco fans in here? I got one. That's it. Maybe two more. All right, good. So you like Sam's Club, I get it. BJ's, well, no, don't worry about that. No. But no, Costco, you know, is good to the Crawford family. So I went to Costco the other day, just a real quick stop. There was a couple of things I wanted, literally two things. So I get the two things, I come around, and here is pretty much the line. So now I got to stay 6 feet back, of course, I'm doing so. I got my mask on, I'm doing all that, and I got my two little things, you know, in hand, and I'm in line. Now when I show up to the line, in the next line over, there's a you know, more senior, you know, woman, and she's there. And she's in that line, but she sees that the line is not really moving, so she decides she's going to come on over to my line. And when she gets over to my line, she's like, oh, well, you know I was coming to this line. She's like, you were over there in that line. Now she want to come, in front of me, because now there's some people behind me even. I was like, huh. She's like, oh, you just got two things, though, huh? I said, yeah, that's it. I just got two things. She got a basket full of stuff. And she's just like, and then she sees the next line over, and it looks like it's moving. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to go over there. I said, okay, all right, God bless you. Boom. I'm holding my stuff. Progress up the line, and my line starts to move a little faster than hers. You know, this woman said, you know what, I'm coming back over there. I was like, now listen. I wanted to go into self-preservation, protection. You know, we're like, what in the world is wrong? But I just held on to my stuff and said, come on, just jump right on in there. Take care of whatever you need to take care of. She decided that her need to check out was a higher priority than mine. She decided that she was more important than me and everybody behind me, for that matter. Now, that's an unfortunate example, but we got to make sure we don't duplicate that kind of stuff in our relationships. Well, all of a sudden now, our checking out is a higher priority than serving those that we love. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we begin to allow ourselves to become our highest priority within the family, then we will ultimately experience the grind and friction in the relationships with our fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, husbands, wives, uncles, aunties, nieces, nephews, all of that. Praise God. You got to be very careful. You know, I got a lot of stories this morning. Y'all like stories? I like stories. Yeah, so amen. I got a story group right here. I see. I remember talking to this one parent, and the parent was explaining, you know, some philosophy to me about things. And I said, oh, okay. And so the individual started to share with me. Said, you know, there was a point in time where I was doing everything, you know, for my family and the kids and so forth. And you know, I made sure, you know, they had this, that, and the other. I said, well, okay, I understand. Since then, I looked up one day and I didn't have anything. It was their response. Like, I don't really have anything. And said, oh, okay. So the person said, I decided then I'm shifting that. And I'm going to make sure that I have what I want. Now watch. Now there's nothing wrong with people wanting something for themselves. Nothing wrong with that. You can go get that. You can go shop for that. But this goes much deeper than that, because what was really being communicated there is at that point in time, I became more important than my family. Interesting enough, because I look back on them sometime, you know, ago now, it wouldn't surprise you to know that they eventually wind up leaving their family. Now, isn't that interesting? And I would dare say they probably didn't, you know, nobody starts off, watch this, in marriage and family, be like, you know what, I'm going to give it 5 years and then I'm out of there. Come on, nobody's right there at the wedding like, you know, do you say I do? Yes, just for 2 years though, and then I'm done with you. Nobody's at the altar, you know, saying that. Everyone has this mindset that, hey, this is going to be forever and a day. But what happens? What happens? Friction gets in there. And it doesn't get checked by the gospel. It starts to run wild and it creates havoc. And in this particular case now, you know, a family gets broken apart. Don't make the mistake of putting yourself first. Third one is this, very quickly. Fix your attention not on the facts in your life, but on the truth for your life. Fix your attention not on the facts, but on the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, 18 says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Come on, read that out loud with me. Come on, you can see it. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Come on, one more time. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see, ladies and gentlemen, these things last forever. So this is a mindset that you have to choose now, really. The covenant you have with God, the agreement you have with God, that covenant over the challenges. You want to choose now his promises over your problems. You want to choose his peace over the pressure. Come on now. You want to choose faith instead of friction and allowing that to run wild. But that requires us to have a shift of focus. Sometimes you've encountered some people like this. If you haven't encountered it, then it's probably you. But anyway, that's a whole nother issue. But you've encountered some people like this that no matter what goes on, they can find the negative out of it. Anybody ever come across something like that? Like, oh my goodness, we just had a great day. Yeah, but there were two clouds that messed up my suntan. It was like, really? Big old blue sky, and you want to talk about the two clouds. Unfortunately, a lot of times, people have a propensity to the negative, and friction, a lifelong, you know, experience in friction will develop that, where you're always gazing at the negative. God says, no, you got to do just the opposite. You got to look at what I've said. Look at what I've promised for you. Look at what I've laid out for you. That's where you want to get your focus fixated on. This is how you're able to break through the friction. Praise God. Let me keep going. I'm running out of time here. Here's the number four. Use your strength to serve. Come on, everyone say it with me. I'm strong. Come on, let me see the muscles in the house. Come on, everybody flex with me. Come on, let me see it. Come on, I'm looking for some muscles here. Where are they? There they go. Ooh, there's some strength in the house. But ladies and gentlemen, that strength is for service. It's for service. Notice again, back in Philippians chapter 2, we keep reading, starting again at verse 5. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Please underline that. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, praise God. Here's a particular case that the Son of God is just as much God as God the Father. But his equality with God, his nature with God, he didn't, you know, deem to use that as something for his own advantage. It's like, no, I'm going to use it to serve humanity. I'm going to use the fact that I'm a part of the Trinity, that I am, you know, El Shaddai, really just like my Father. We're all connected. So I'm going to use all of that not to flex. I'm going to use that to serve. I'm going to use that now to, watch this, make an impact in people's lives. I'm going to use that to make myself last. Come on, you want to break through the friction? Use your strength to serve. Serve others. Jesus, of course, is our example. Greatest example we have in Scripture. And we see that he laid down all of heaven to come to earth, just so that he could serve us. Ladies and gentlemen, you follow that example in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships, in business, it will produce for you a health and a peace that is unspeakable. Number five is this. Turn your life into a sacrifice. Turn your life into a sacrifice. And when I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about these three S words: selfless, submissive, and serving. Turn your life into a sacrifice. Verse 8 in Philippians chapter 2 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Listen, when families, when we face trying times, each individual has to make one of two choices: to either be selfish or selfless. Somewhere in the process of the friction, you're going to choose. The heart for God is choose the selfless route, not the selfish route. If we're going to see the frictions, you know, in our families ease, we got to start from this place of sacrifice. That we're willing to lay down all that we are for the benefit of everyone in our family. Willing to lay it down. Willing to lay it down. You know, my wife and I, we have four children. They don't know it now. But they'll probably understand it better and better, I'm sure, as they grow. We made a point years ago. We're going to make some sacrifices for them. We're going to invest in them to make sure that they can start higher than we finish. But now, in order to do that, means we have to say no to ourselves some things that we want to do. And we've done that. Y'all don't know how many times. I'm just like, you know what, forget it. I'm about to go get me a new car. Come on, I know nobody else ever had that kind of, you know, feeling on the inside. But I know I've had it a couple times. Like, you know what? Forget it. I'm about to go get this. Nah, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it because we made a commitment that we want to help our children grow up strong in love with God, in love with each other, and in love with themselves. That requires some sacrifice. And the sacrifice I'm mentioning, I'm not saying it, you know, really begrudgingly. Yeah, there's temptation that's been there, but I'm glad that we can make this sacrifice because we see the sacrifice as investment. Watch this, and not even investment for ourselves. You know, some individuals, I get it. I'm gonna mess with you a little bit here. Some individuals, I get it. You know, they put their children upon this athletic track. You know, try to get them to do this, that, and the other, so they can you know make one of these three-letter leagues. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's NBA, NFL, y'all, all that kind of stuff. And then take care of me in the future. That's not what I'm talking about. That's the wrong motive. I'm just gonna put that out there. That's the wrong motive. Hey, it's fine if your child is athletically gifted and so forth. It's fine to go ahead and let them excel, but don't do it for this, you know, the mindset of this is going to be my ticket out. That's still selfless. You're still at the front of the line. So what we do, we ain't doing it for, you know, anything that they would give us in the future. No. We just want to see to it that their future is bright. But that requires turning yourself into a sacrifice. Matter of fact, you should find somebody around you. Just find somebody near you. You might not even know them. I don't know if you're at home, whatever, but say this out loud to them. It says, I will die for you. Some people pause on that. There's like, you know what, preacher, I wasn't saying that one. I wasn't saying that one. But see, but watch this. The people that you love, when we are following the example of Christ, oh yeah. We should die for them every day. Every day, saying, you know what? I will say no to myself here so I can say yes to you now. Yes to your dreams. Yes to your vision. Yes to your growth. I'll say no. I could go off and do something else, but I'm not going to do that because I'm saying yes to you. Turn your life into a sacrifice. Allow your family to develop a character that it bends towards each other. Come on, when challenges come in, and it's always going to come, when friction develops, it's going to happen. Allow it to turn you towards each other, not against each other, and not just simply for yourself. When we do this, come on now, we can begin to eliminate the friction that is developed in our families. And you can have a peace that is amazing. I stand thankful and a little bit in awe that here, 20 years of marriage, that our relationship is far sweeter than what it was when we started. Far sweeter. Far sweeter. I can't take any credit for it because if it was left up to me, I'd have jacked it up a long time ago. You might as well say amen. Some of y'all got the same issues. But learn how to kind of lean there with God. And I look up and I'm just like, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. Can I just talk for a minute? I mean, right now I'm just like, I never knew it could be this sweet. Come on, I'd heard, you know, been to marriage conferences, all kind of stuff, so on and so forth. I've been to all of that kind of stuff before I got married. Went through premarital counseling, all that kind of stuff. But I look here now, 20 years later, I'm just like, man, this thing is better. They didn't tell me the half of how wonderful this could be. Because we make a decision to not let the friction run wild. Keep that thing in the yard. And you will do well. Come on, lift up your hands with me right there where you are. Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for showing us, Daddy, what we just simply need to internalize and to become so that we can experience your peace whenever friction tries to show up. Yeah, we know it's going to come. We know tension, praise God, it's natural. It's just a part of, you know, life. But Daddy, how we respond to it, we want to do it the way that you do it. We want to do it the example that Jesus laid out for us, Father. So we make it a point today, and we confess to you right now that we will not make ourselves first and put everyone else in our family last. But Daddy, we will lift their significance up. We will raise their value up. We will look to their interests and not our own. And Father, we trust that as we do so, it shall produce an undeniable peace and prosperity in all of our relationships. We give you glory for this now. In Jesus' name, if you agree, would you shout glory? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, just keep your heads bowed with me just for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed here at home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, if you've yet to make a decision to break free from the friction by way of relationship with God, I want to pray for you and with you. Now, see, everything I'm talking about today, the principles that I gave you, those things are predicated upon you being in relationship with a good, good father. If that relationship element is not there, you're just simply trying to work some good principles, and I got news for you. Eventually, you're going to get, you know, worn out and tired. That's what friction does. Friction, you know, begins to wear things out. If you don't change it after a while, those brake pads, they're gone. The friction does it to you. So if that's you, you've never made a decision to connect with God through a relationship with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. This is the most critical way to break free from all of the friction and to enjoy the peace that you were born to have. So if that's you, whether you're here in the auditorium or you're at home or wherever you could be, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. This is what I need for you to do for me. Right there where you are, even at home, if you desire my prayers for this invitation right here, just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven. Right there where you are. And I'll be glad to pray for you and with you. Come on, if you're at home, you can even type it into the chat. Say, I've decided. And then we'll know, we just want to be praying for you and we're going to send you some information too. So dear God, if that's you, go ahead, throw up your hands, type it in the chat. Praise God. Say, yep, I decide. In Jesus' name. And in that place of decision is the place where your good, good father is committed to meet you. So everyone do this with me right there. Everyone in the house, everyone online, lift up two hands. Lift up two hands because we're under arrest. We're sacrifices. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father God. Oh, come on, say it strong. Dear Father God, thank you so much for loving me and sacrificing all for me. I embrace your sacrifice today. Jesus, as my Lord, as my Master, as my Savior, as my King. Thank you, Lord, for making me your own. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, somebody take 10 seconds just to give God glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. Come on, 5 seconds left here. Yeah, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, your goodness, your love, your peace, praise God. None like you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, if you raise your hand again, even right there at home, and you did not already type into the chat, you know, the word decided, go ahead and do so, or you can text the word decided to the number that you'll see provided there as well. We want to get out to you a booklet. Electronic version is called A Fresh Start. Come on, you're making the decision now. We want you to have a fresh start. So go ahead and type that in so we can send that link over to you. And that way you can get started on it today. It's a 7-day devotional that will help you in the decision that you've made here today. Now, here's another next step that I encourage of you as well, that today at noon, we have step one of our growth track. We have 4 steps, so you do it all in 1 month. I want to encourage you to get in on that. You can type the word or text the word, actually, grow to the number that you see there, 954-280-2076. They'll send you the link, you know, for the Zoom so that you can be able to get in at noon. Man, I'm rhyming all the time, I tell you. Glory to God. So please get in on that. That's a very important next step as well. Glory. I applaud you. We thank God for you. And we're looking forward, watch this, to living a life with our families, in marriage, in our finances. Watch this, friction free in Jesus' name. Come on, lift up hands with me again. Father, we bless you and we bless your people. Those that are present, those that are locked in, praise God, you know, via YouTube, Facebook, or our website. May your blessing rest mightily upon us, Father, that we may accomplish great things daily for you. And help us, Daddy, to live in a place always where we make ourselves last, not first. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed.